Okay, this morning we're looking at Acts chapter 15. We'll begin by reading verse 35. I'm taking the title for the message from verse 35. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch. That was their home church. That was their home base. They continued there teaching the word of the Lord and preaching the word of the Lord, with many others also teaching and preaching the word of the Lord. It's so important when we meet together that we meet together around the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take His word and teach it and preach it line by line and verse by verse. Someone years ago said of my pastor, Henry Mahan, someone said of him, well, he's a good teacher, but he's not much of a preacher. Now, I think what the person meant by that is, he does not or did not rant and rave and carry on like some men in the pulpit do, but rather plainly declared the gospel of the grace of God and the message of the gospel so folks could in plain language understand what the message of the gospel is. I was quite encouraged when I went down to the TV station where we broadcast Pastor Mahan's TV sermons on Sunday night at 8 o'clock on WPRG. And I took some more sermons down there on DVDs and handed it to the manager of that station, whose name is Wayne Fugit. And I struck up a conversation with him, and he said, you know, I remember years ago watching those broadcasts, Pastor Henry Mahan, on the TV. And he said, these messages here are a special treasure. And I said, well, I'm so encouraged to hear that. But Brother Mahan, he took the Word of God, and oftentimes he'd stand in front of that, you who watch the TV broadcast on Sunday night, he would take that word by word and preach the gospel clearly and plainly. And some people criticized him, saying, well, he's a good teacher, but he's not much of a preacher. Well, my friend, teaching and preaching go along together, as you'll see here in just a moment. The apostle said this in 2 Corinthians 3, seeing then that we have such a hope, we use great plainness of speech. Now, if I can't communicate the gospel message unto you, I'm not preaching the gospel. And then again, Paul said this, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5, we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves servants for the Lord's sake. Those who are sent to preach the gospel of Christ are both teachers of the word and preachers of the gospel. You cannot separate the two. Teaching the word and preaching the word, they're both one and the same. We read a moment ago from Ephesians chapter 4, he gave some to the church. He gave apostles, those sent of God, special men. He gave prophets. He gave some evangelists. He gave some pastors and teachers. A pastor teacher, that's what a pastor does. He teaches the word of the Lord, and in doing so, he feeds the sheep for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that is, believers, our mercy beggars, telling other mercy beggars where bread is found. That's what preaching is. It's just one beggar telling another beggar where bread is found, and doing it in such a way that you can understand that salvation is in Christ. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. L-O-O-K. Everybody here, even the youngest, understands what the word look means. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is in Him. Now, if we're not teaching the word in language that people can understand, turn back and look at this statement with me in Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, when Peter is recounting and recalling the message when he came to Cornelius' house. Acts chapter 11, verse 14. who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. To do what? To tell you words. Words. And then another place I was reading earlier in Acts chapter 16, we're going to see, notice verse 17. This woman that was demon possessed followed Paul and us and cried saying, these men are servants of the Most High God which show us the way of salvation. They tell us words whereby we shall be saved, and they show us the way of salvation. So if we're not teaching the word in plain, everyday, what my friend Paul Harvey used to say, shirt sleeve language, if we're not teaching the word in language that people can understand, then we're not communicating the gospel message. And if we're not communicating the word of the Lord, we're certainly not preaching the word of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So we try to use words that we can all understand and relate to in our everyday life. Now, getting back to our story here, when the church at Jerusalem had fully considered the matter of how God saved sinners. Remember, some people came to that church, the Gentile church in Antioch, who said to those people, you must keep the law, you must be circumcised in order to be saved. And Peter declared clearly that it's the grace of God, through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved as other God saves religious Jews the same way He saves a pagan Gentile by the grace of God. Look at Acts 15, verse 24. For as much as we have heard that certain went out from us and have troubled you with words, words that subverted your soul rather than pointing you to the Lord Jesus Christ, they pointed you away from the Lord Jesus Christ, saying that you must be circumcised, that you must keep the law, we gave no such commandment. Now, they send this letter back with Paul and Barnabas and with Silas and with Judas. Look at verse 30. Verse 30. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the word of the Lord, this epistle, which when they read, they rejoiced for the consolation. Now, what do believers rejoice in? And what is the comfort or consolation that believers have? Christ is our comfort. Therefore, we rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. So when they came to Antioch, they delivered this message, and they rejoiced, and Judas and Silas, verse 32, being prophets, those who were called, sent of God, those who were taught the gospel of God, they also exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed. Now, what were the many words that they spoke? They spoke words about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that. Because they were prophets sent of God. Remember in Acts chapter 10, verse 43, where it says, to him give all the prophets witness. Those prophets that are sent of God have but one message. That one message that Judas and Silas preached was the same message that Peter preached and Barnabas and Paul preached. Jesus Christ crucified is everything in salvation. That's our hope. That's your hope, right? Is Christ alone. So they can... They exhorted with words and confirmed. Now, verse 33, watch this. After they had tarried there a space, that is, preaching the gospel and worshiping together, they were let go in peace from the brethren back to the apostle, James and Peter, back in Jerusalem from Antioch. Notwithstanding, verse 34, it pleased Silas there to abide. Now, we're going to read a lot as we go through the book of Acts. We're going to find a lot of scripture that tells us about this missionary team, this new team of Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas. Now, Silas, after Silas and Judas preached the gospel, Judas returned to Jerusalem. Now, this is not Judas the apostle. We know this is another man. Silas was pleased and compelled by God to stay there and continue there with the brethren. Now, here we see the sovereign working providence of the Lord. Judas went back to Jerusalem to the apostles. And Silas was somehow in his mind and in his heart was compelled to stay there. Now, we see the sovereign providence of God preparing. And I'm sure that Silas probably didn't know at that time what the Lord was preparing for him for the ministry. But he's about to find out. We know that he became a faithful gospel missionary. He partnered with the Apostle Paul to preach the gospel in many places to many people, and he would suffer terrible persecution for preaching that message. If you'll find in Acts chapter 16, when he first goes out with Paul preaching the gospel, and they come to the city of Philippi, and there they preached the gospel, and there they got in trouble. So much so that it says down here in verse 22, Acts 16, the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them, and when they had laid many stripes upon them. Now, this is Silas. Here's his first journey with Paul, the first city they go to, and they preach the gospel, and they're beaten with many stripes, charging the jailer and cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Verse 24, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God and the Lord. And the prisoners, of course, the Lord did as well, but the prisoners heard them. So Silas didn't get very far. And you reckon he was somewhat discouraged when he was beaten and put in jail? No doubt he was. But yet he's singing and praising God for the salvation that is of God's grace alone. Now, verse 35. Now, here we want to camp right here for just a minute. I wrote a note to myself, camp here. Okay, verse 35. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many, many others as well. Now, when we teach the word, we are preaching Christ as the only way of salvation. The only way that God saves sinners. We're preaching the way of salvation. If you look back at Acts chapter 4, and I quote this verse all the time. When we're preaching and teaching the word, the message of the word and the preaching of the gospel is single fold. One message. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation is only in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we preach the word, we're teaching that salvation is of the Lord and that salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in Him. The Lord says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by and through me. Teaching and preaching the word of the Lord is the ordained means that God has given to His people to call out His sheep. Now, I want to show you this. Very plainly, Romans 10. Romans 10. Remember, we studied in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it pleased God through preaching to save them that believe. In Romans 10, notice verse 11, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Romans 10, verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is upon all unto all that call upon Him. He's the same Lord over all, is rich unto all that call upon Him. Verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? So what must you hear? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. How shall they preach and shall... Excuse me, how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except it be sent, they be sent as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, that bring glad tidings of good things, that declares the Lord our God does reign. Reign. The Lord has ordained the preaching and teaching of the gospel to call out His sheep. And His sheep will hear that word taught by God. Now let me show you a couple more scriptures in the book of Acts here. Acts chapter 4, verse 20. Turn back to Acts chapter 4 again, verse 20. Remember, they were commanded not to speak anymore, verse 18. Acts chapter 4, verse 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of our Lord Jesus. Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, judge you, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and we have heard. Now turn one page, two pages, Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. You remember they went on preaching the gospel. In Acts chapter 5, verse 40, they agreed and called the apostles and beaten them and commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach what? The gospel, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. To teach and preach the word. Now turn back to the text. Acts 15:35. They continue there teaching and preaching the word of the Lord. Now what is meant by the word of the Lord? Okay, let's see if we can find out. Turn to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4, 12. They were teaching and preaching the word, not of men, but the word that's of the Lord. And here's the reason why. It's ordained of God for this purpose. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful. So we preach the Word of God because it's the living sword of God. It's quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of the Lord. The written Word of the Lord. Piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature not manifest in His sight, that all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Now this scripture is not only talking about the written word of the Lord, but it seems as you read that verse that it's talking about a person. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself is called what? The Word of the Lord, right? Turn to John chapter 1. Let's see if I can make good on that. John chapter 1. So when we talk about the Word of the Lord, we're talking about the written Word of the Lord, but we're also talking about the incarnate Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 14, but John chapter 1, verse 1, first of all. In the beginning was the Word. Notice that's capital, talking about a person. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, down to verse 14. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Look at verse 16, John 1, verse 16. And of His fullness have we all received grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. So it's talking about the written Word. All Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is given of God. The written Word tells us about the incarnate Word, the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth. So when we see in our text that they were teachers and preachers of the Word of the Lord, He's talking about the written Word. How many times have we seen in our study in the book of Acts when those men, Stephen and others, Paul and Peter, when they preached the gospel, they referred to what was written, didn't they? And they took that written Word and preached Christ, the incarnate Word. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's who the Lord Jesus Christ is. So when we preach the Word, we preach the written Word that tells us of the living Word. And it tells us about His person, who He is. The Word of the Lord, the eternal, only, well-beloved, eternal, holy, begotten Son of God, who accomplished all salvation for us. It tells us of His person. It tells us of His redeeming work. How He came, the Word that was written of Him, wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity, and in the fullness of time, He came and accomplished all that was written of Him, putting away our sin by the sacrifice of Himself. His redeeming work. He obtained for us eternal redemption with His own blood. Peter writes about being redeemed with what? Not silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we teach and preach the Word, we're preaching His person and what He did. How God bought us with His own blood. And we declare that salvation is all of grace. As Peter says in verse 11 of Acts 15, we believe through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. In other words, they preach. They preached in that day and they taught in that day who He is and what He did. And we do the same in our day. We take the written Word and tell you of the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all that He has done for us and how He accomplished salvation for us. It's not what you must do. That's not salvation. Salvation is what He has done for us. What He has done for us. Now, I want to read two scriptures to you. I want you to find 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And this will help us to understand what teaching and preaching the Word of the Lord is. And how the Lord has promised to bless His Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, but declaring unto you the testimony of God. Teaching and preaching the testimony of God, the Word of God, the will of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That is, preaching and declaring clearly and plainly the Word of the Lord, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? The traditions of men? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of the Lord. The Word of the Lord, twofold. His written Word and the incarnate Word. It comes by the Word, by the will of the Lord. Now, one other scripture on preaching. Find 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Teaching and preaching the Word of the Lord. That's what I inspire to do. That's what I attempt to do every time we take the Word of God and open it, to read His Word. And as my pastor used to say, read the Word and skedaddle to Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Get to Him, because it's all about Him. Now, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not faint, we do not quit, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves. Now, if you look on the front of the bulletin, don't do it now, but if you look on the front of the bulletin, that statement, this scripture has been on the front of the bulletin for 26 years. 26 years, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for His sake. We're not preaching ourselves. We are pointing sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now, we don't glory in the preacher. He's just a man. That's all I am, a sinner saved by grace. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So we take the Word of God and teach the Word of God and point sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Now, in closing, I want to look at verse 36, 37, 38, 39. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Now, there it is again. They preached the word of the Lord in every city. Paul was zealous to go back to these cities where he'd been beaten and stoned and run out of town. And he went right back to the same places, Lystra, Iconium, those places where he was persecuted. He went right back there again. And let's see how the brethren are doing. We preached the word of the Lord to them, and let's preach the word to them again. Verse 37, Barnabas determined to take with them this young man named John, whose surname was Mark. John Mark. Now, he accompanied Paul and Barnabas on that first missionary journey. And after they had been together for some time, he left the ministry and went back home to Jerusalem. Now, you think that the Lord is just done with that man. The Lord's not going to use that man anymore. And Paul seemed to think, well, you know, I can't trust him. He quit. He quit us first. He went back home. I'm not going to trust him again. But you know, the Lord didn't throw this man away, John Mark. We have the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the same man. The Lord used this man in a mighty way. In many ways, He blessed the ministry of John Mark. Even though he quit, he didn't quit finally because God wasn't done with him. God blessed him and used him. Verse 38, Paul thought it not good to take him with them who departed from them in from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Paul said, I'm done with him. But thank God, God wasn't done with him. And oftentimes we view things in a short-sighted way where God sees things at a long distance, doesn't he? Verse 39, and the contention was so sharp. Now, why didn't the Lord just leave this part out? Why do we need to know that there was a sharp contention between these two beloved brothers, Paul and Barnabas? So much so that they departed asunder from one another. The best of men are only men at best. They had a separation for a while. And the division here, we must understand this, the contention and the division was not over the gospel. It was not over how God saves sinners. It was over the issue of the conduct of another man. And Paul and Barnabas had an honest disagreement about him. But even in this, where it says that Paul chose Silas, let's read the last part of verse 39. Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. There's another missionary team with Barnabas and John Mark, and they sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas. God was preparing this young man for this missionary endeavor. We're going to see much about him as we read the rest of the book of Acts. Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. The grace of God. Being recommended by the grace of God. Now that's the reason we enjoy salvation. The grace of God has been recommended to us. By the grace of God. Of His own fullness have we all received grace for grace. The reason we have grace and enjoy grace is because of His grace. Because of His mercy, not our merit, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. I just love to read that statement. The grace of God. What would we be? Where would we be without the grace of God? God reaching into our heart, our lives, by the grace of God, and making us new creatures in Christ. Can't we say with the apostle, by the grace of God, I am what I am by the grace of God. And he went through the Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Just what do you reckon he confirmed them with? Teaching and preaching the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. We sing often that song, Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. God saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, given us in Christ before the foundation of the world. You think about that. God has given us grace in Christ before we were even born. God purposed and determined to save you from all eternity. That's grace. Sovereign grace, eternal grace, fetching grace, redeeming grace, electing grace. There's a remnant according to the election of grace. Let me read this to you, and I'll let you go. Talking about the grace of God. Moreover, he said, the law entered that the offense might abound, Romans 5:20. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace reigns. It reigns supreme, sovereignly. God will be merciful and gracious to whom He will. Where sin abounded, grace does much more abound forever.